This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Brady takes the snap, looks, fires, ends up. Yeah! Touchdown! Aaron Hernandez, Tom Brady, pulls the fat out of the fire.
The pregame social is the world's largest virtual tailgate, featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
And the Patriots are world champions again, back-to-back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
Adam Jones, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Patriots head to sunny Florida to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Brady awaiting the shotgun snap on fourth down. He's got it. Back to throw. Looks. Fires. Caught. Touchdown. Rob Gronkowski.
Now, Adam, Paul, and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Welcome into the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones alongside Andy Hart, Paul Perillo here on Patriots.com. Some good
elf on the shelf talk.
Some good elf on the shelf talk going on leading up to the program.
We had to educate you.
We're in the holiday
season.
Can't live
in ignorance forever.
It is true. Apparently, I'm living under a rock with this whole elf on the shelf thing. I'm not familiar with it. Patriots coming off a loss last week, 41-34 to San Francisco here in Foxborough. It drops them to 10-4 on the season. That's also behind Houston and Denver at the moment in the AFC standings. Patriots are in Jacksonville today. Bit of a snooze fest, quite frankly. So now, looking at where the Patriots line up in the AFC, what's the impact of that loss last week to San Francisco?
So he starts the pregame show for a game by saying the game's a snooze fest.
It's a little bit of a snooze fest. I mean, you could talk about the game and the Patriots and where they stand, but I don't know. Do you think the game is not...
If it's interesting, it's a problem.
Not yeah. somewhat of
if
a
If the game
fest,
becomes interesting
you,
for anything other than ridiculous numbers and records, it's a major problem for the Patriots.
Andy hits the nail right on the head. Any interest in this game can only be bad.
Yeah.
You know, because the more competitive
Unless they
this
score
game,
100 or something stupid.
Yeah,
like.
Well, the more competitive this game is, the worse the sign is for the Patriots. Now, that also depends on how they go about it and how they attack the game. I think that they'll go after it. Andy just got finished with his hit on the Sports Hub for the part of the pregame show, and we talked about this during the course of the week, Andy and I. I think you go after this game as if it's a normal game, and then you sort of...
You let it play out.
You readjust. Now, you ask the question, what did the loss mean? Well, the loss means now that you need help. You need Denver to lose a game, or you need Houston to lose two games. You know,
a lot of help.
Houston has two reasonably difficult games that could be lost. They play Minnesota today at home, and they finish at Indianapolis, whereas Denver has two cupcakes at home in Cleveland and Kansas City. I almost think that the chances are greater that Houston loses two than Denver loses one, but, you know, if for whatever reason one of those things happens today, if Denver were to lose or if Houston were to lose one of their games, maybe you readjust how you look at that finale against Miami. Today, I think... Like Andy said, I think you want to go out and put a good performance forward. You want to get the loss. You don't want to start losing games. You don't want to start putting losing streaks together at this time of year. You want to go out, put your best foot forward. You don't want to let – the one thing Jacksonville can do, I think, with some reasonable success is make some big plays. You don't allow any of those today. And you want to come out of it with a feeling good about yourself, with a good, solid win, not ever being in trouble against a team that you shouldn't be ever in trouble against.
When you look at – the scenario you just laid out, right? Behind Houston, behind Denver, assuming those teams take care of business, the Patriots will be playing on wild card weekend. How does that alter, if at all, your view on the Patriots and potential for postseason success?
I think it hurts it, you know, and I've been consistent with this. I think they are the best team. I think they should be the Super Bowl favorite. I'm not sure they're going to go because I don't know that I can pick them to win three games in a row against good competition and on the road for the second portion of that in all likelihood. And I've also said the team I'm most fearful of that first round is Pittsburgh, because to me that compounds out even more. Not only do I have to play a good physical defense.
Get beat up a little
bit. Get beat up. Now do I have to go to Denver, and then do I have to go to Houston? Is that really plausible? I think it's going to be very hard. You know, the literally the road to the Super Bowl, in my opinion, is going to be very difficult. And so I know I'm a contradiction. I think they're the favorite to go to the Super Bowl, but I don't think they'll go to the Super Bowl. I'm going to take the field because the field, to me, has an easier road.
Yeah, and I agree with Andy. I too, think that the Patriots are the best team in the AFC right now. But individually, if you said, okay, the Patriots playing at Houston tomorrow.
I'll take them.
I'll take the Patriots. Patriots playing at home against Pittsburgh. I'll take the Patriots.
Me too.
I do think the road has become much tougher. And you went from having a week to rest your, you know, tired and in a lot of cases injured players, and then hosting Denver, more than likely, to playing against a Pittsburgh team that if Pittsburgh plays well, they can cause you problems.
Blew you out last year.
Yeah. I mean, not on the scoreboard, but in play, they certainly controlled that game. That's a team that you could play well and they could play well and you could lose because they have comparable talent to you. Whereas you know, Indianapolis, I don't think can make that statement. You know, some of the other teams that, you know, certainly the bye week that they were going to have, they couldn't have lost. Now you have a game wild card weekend that will be challenging, and then you have to play potentially two games in the road. So Andy's right. I think the Patriots are still the best team in the AFC. I've been feeling that for about the last month or so. I feel like they're playing better football than Houston. A little intrigued by Denver. Because I respect teams like just the way I did with the Patriots. When the Patriots put together seven in a row or six, whatever it was, seven-game winning streak they had, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most of them were against bad competition, but most of them, they took care of business. You know, a couple of early hiccups early in that streak, Buffalo at home. But once they got going, I thought that they were dispatching bad teams. That's what Denver's done. They haven't really been tested by really good football teams, but they also haven't been in a lot of close games in their long winning streak. So I'm intrigued by them. I still think the Patriots are better.
I know you don't want to talk about the game,
yeah,
per
the game.
Se, in today's matchup,
yeah.
But obviously...
How about the walkthrough? Do you want to talk about the walkthrough?
I'm not saying we're not going to talk about it. I'm not sure it's the lead, per se, when you look at you know
okay,
how the scenario
sorry,
and the playoff permutations.
Sorry that I'm infringing upon the early portion of your show.
Maybe
talk Super Bowl.
Maybe a B block.
More of a B, maybe a C story.
What was the story that you dismissed like last week or the week before? Maybe a C story.
I don't recall. I'm sure I was on the money about it.
As always, fans can join us on Twitter if they want to check in with hashtag PPGS and one of the notes that's kind of flowing through the Twitter feed there. And Alfonso Dennard, Brandon Spikes, Rob Gronkowski already out. Aqib Talib, who's been injured, listed as injured all week, is on the field showing a lot of facial grimaces and grabbing his left side while working out with the training staff. And, you know, it doesn't look great based on pretty much unanimous 3, 4, 5 different guys tweeting about it that he doesn't look very good.
All right. And, is E-Scale one of them?
Yes. And in light of... you know, discussing Cecil Shorts and maybe the one chance they have is to hit a few bombs down the field, to have to go with Marquise Cole and Kyle Arrington as your two starting corners doesn't sound overly refreshing.
Well, we'll get the inactives coming up here in a little over a half an hour on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart here on Patriots.com. Let Dunkin' Donuts make you a sandwich. Dunkin's turkey, cheddar, bacon, and ham and cheese bakery sandwiches are made with care so you can enjoy life's simple pleasures. Get yours today. America runs on Dunkin'. And going into what you just brought up, between Dennard and Spikes already being ruled out, now couple in Talib. If he can't go, do you see the Patriots experimenting with McCourty back at cornerback? In other words, how do you see them proceeding if at least two of those guys, potentially Talib, are out as well?
Oh, I certainly think it's a possibility you could see McCourty go back to corner. I wouldn't be stunned at all. But I also
won't
be stunned.
Only if they're down two guys or if they're just down Dennard?
If they're just down...
Who's already been ruled out.
If they're just down Dennard, I would think that McCourty will not go back to corner. But if both of them are out, I think there's a chance he will go back to corner. And then you'll see Chung and Wilson get time at safety next to Gregory, just because you're deeper at safety right now. You know, you have more.
Sure.
You have four guys, basically, who have started there this year at safety. So
yep.
You have four starters. In another position, you have borderline one with Kyle Arrington, who, when he's been put back on the outside at any point this year, has really struggled. So, yeah, I certainly think there's a chance you'd see McCourty at corner.
And I don't think you necessarily need to have, you know, I think you always have the ability to play McCourty at corner seamlessly.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's not like you say, well, he's played safety now for, you know, a month and a half. In case we need him in the playoffs at corner, we want to, I don't think you need to do that. I think.
And he moved there 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Was that the Houston
late
game he
yes
moved there?
Yeah, when they had both Dennard and Talib out.
Just circling back to something
although
you said.
Although not
about,
exactly a confidence builder if he has to move back to corner and Cecil Shorts blows by him for a touchdown.
Circling back to what
guy's
you just
got
said.
80-yard touchdowns, you know.
About safety, though. If they were to move McCourty off of it, or even not, it sounds like you think Gregory's going to start. We know he was demoted last week. Do you see Gregory sticking at safety, or you think it's Chung, Paul?
Yeah, well, I mean, I thought it was the whole demotion thing. Belichick sort of talked about that, and I'm not – listen, I know that sometimes Bill, you know, he's a coach and he's going to give us some coach speak, but I'm not necessarily sure it was a demotion. I think that they've been wanting to get Chung back integrated to get exactly what Andy just talked about, that three-man safety rotation. And Chung's playing time has been rather limited. Now, I thought last week he got a chance to play a little bit more. Now, the one – fact, and Andy and I talked about this off the air, that goes to your point, Adam. I thought the timing of getting Chung some playing time was interesting. It was after the first Crabtree touchdown, a deep seam route after the interception on the screen pass to Hernandez. One play, he split McCourty and Gregory. Looked like Gregory was closest. And then the next series was the one Chung went out there. So if we wanted to get him time, it was interesting the timing of getting him some playing time because it was after a bad play in the safeties. And I thought the safeties in general struggled against the Niners. I thought they got beat on a number of seam routes game.
One more topic to introduce here before we get to the phones. 508-298-0398. Emails go to webradio@patriots.com, taking your thoughts on the Patriots playoff chances now that it looks like they'll be playing on wild card weekend. You can weigh in here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Also, your thoughts on this matchup with the Jacksonville Jaguars, a Week 16 matchup with a two-win team. Stephen Ridley fumbling a couple of times last week in that game. What's the impact for Ridley with those ball security issues the last couple weeks?
Well, obviously, he was benched again last week. I think you have to come out and treat him as you would in any normal game. I just don't think, and Paul and I sort of differ on this view, heading into the postseason, Paul wants to stick with what's been the strength of the team for ever, Tom Brady in the passing game. I think you've invested too much. You've gone too far down a road with Ridley, and you want to be complimentary. You want to have a running game to use at various times if you need it. I think this is the perfect game to build his confidence. That's not a very good run defense. You know, whether you throw first to get a, you know, quick lead and then do it, I think you can't give up on Ridley at this point. And we just talked about it on the Sports Hub pregame show. The story has sort of taken on a life of its own where it's a little bit more than it is. You know, there's a lot of running backs that have four fumbles, a lot of guys with 200 plus carries that have four fumbles. You know, that's kind of comes with the territory. Maybe we were lulled into a false sense of security by Benny never fumbling, although he has three fumbles this year. But, you know, I would argue that, you know, there's a little bit of a trade-off. If you want to take those 10, 15, 20-yard runs that Ridley's been giving you all year long, there's going to be a chance he fumbles.
Isn't some of that self-inflicted, though? Like, will we be making such of a big deal about it if the Patriots didn't bench Ridley last year? Like, in other words,
I said that on the pregame show. They made a story of it.
We know it's a big deal to Belichick. We know it's a big deal to the Patriots. So
the one difference is you had Green Ellis at that point. You had a 1,000-yard rusher who did not ever fumble. You had somebody to turn to. You don't have anybody to turn to now.
No, Vereen's fumbling as
you know,
well. So
Vereen or are we really going to just say Woodhead's our guy? Okay, well, he looked great in the Super Bowl and you lost. You know, it wasn't good enough. He's not a lead back. He's a complimentary spread him out, trick him back. So, yeah, I think part of it is what happened last year. That certainly feeds into the story. Part of it is that he's had a fumbling issue since LSU. That's part of it. I'm just saying if you go with the reality, there's just the statistical reality, four fumbles is not an exorbitant number. It's not crazy for a guy with 200 and whatever he's got, 260 carries at this point.
Yeah, Andy talked at the beginning about, you know, the Patriots' place in the AFC is going to be kind of contradictory. He thinks they're the best, but he doesn't necessarily think they're the favorite to get to the Super Bowl because of the road. Kind of contradictory. I'm going to be a little contradictory here. I don't want to give up on Ridley. I'm not, you know, it's not a cut and dried thing like, oh, he fumbles, I don't want to see him again, I've given up on him. What I want to do is the second part of what Andy said is I think the Patriots offense is at its best when it's sort of running the ball as an afterthought. I understand what Andy's point is about the commitment to improve the running game. I just look at it as still every opportunity that the other team's defense gets to defend the run, I think, is a sigh of relief for the other team. And I felt like that since game one of this year. And there have been games the Patriots have run the ball exceptionally well this year. And one of them was against Denver. with that hurry up. I thought they ran the ball very well that day. I think Denver will take 31 points. That's what they scored that day. What they can't accept is when Brady gets on a roll. Because when Brady gets going in that spread offense and they're dinking and dunking the way they did in the second half.
That's what I was going to say. In that game against the Niners, that's what you saw.
To me,
yeah.
At times, the running game is stoppable. It's not Stephen Ridley that I want to give up on. So I'm kind of contradictory here. The one part that I will say negative on Ridley here with all the stats, Andy and I have also argued about this. I think that a lot of the guys that Andy's comparing that have fumbled four times are much more productive and dangerous running backs than Stephen Ridley is. I think Stephen Ridley is better than Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, but not by as much as I had hoped he would be in terms of his dynamic ability. At times, he's given him that, but the 10-plus yard runs have been like 20 yards, where other guys' 10-plus yard runs have been 50 yards. And, you know, and I'm not, it's not fair to compare him to Adrian Peterson and LeSean McCoy and Chris Johnson, some of the other guys that Andy talked about that have four fumbles, but those guys, you know, the bad is the fumble, the good is an 80-yard touchdown. Well, Ridley doesn't give you the good, that good. You know what I'm saying?
No.
So, you don't know what I'm saying?
No, I'm saying, excuse me. You know what I'm saying?
You don't know what I'm saying?
No.
I think everything Andy said about Ridley to me is accurate. I think Ridley's a good.
That's what they teach you in real radio school.
He's a good, solid
running
back.
When a guest asks you a question, say no.
Just say no. No, I don't understand.
No. Can you explain?
And don't ask him to don't even ask him to explain it more. Just say no and
no,
look at him.
And move on to the C story of the
yeah,
block.
No argument is what I meant.
No.
Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo here on Patriots.com. What would you do with Stephen Ridley? You can give us a call, 508-298-0398. You can email us webradio@ Patriots.com.
I'd also add in, is it a little time? You mentioned this is a perfect game to get that confidence back up. Totally agree.
Sure.
Totally agree.
Any team that gives up $1.50 every week.
But also a perfect game to let Ridley get 10, 15 carries. But why not get Bolden back involved here and see if he's an alternative to turn to?
Sure.
He's got fresh legs. He hasn't played a whole lot the last 6 weeks.
Guessing he's going to get to play next week.
Well, yeah. But I mean, you get him some carries the last 2 weeks, and then maybe you have an under option going into the playoffs. I don't think Bolden is as good as Ridley. It's not. I'm not saying.
Paul hates all
runners.
That's the bottom line here. Paul
let's not
wants
hand
to throw
the
it.
Well, I
he comes from
I
the
do.
Drew Bledsoe 70 attempt school of football.
Well, I also come from the Tom Brady. When I look at it as I can live with Tom Brady. If I get knocked out of the playoffs because Tom Brady was a little bit off that day, I can live with that. If I get knocked out because I averaged 3.8 yards a carry but insisted on running it 35 times, I'm going to be sick.
Is it a somber day when Matt Stafford breaks the Drew Bledsoe pass attempts record next week? Is that going to be a sad day?
Not at all.
In the Perillo household?
Pass attempts record, to me, that's meaningless.
That's window dressing.
It's a meaningless stat. Yeah. You threw the ball more than everybody else. Big deal.
LePan, you got something over there in the poll center?
A hat that doesn't fit.
I pulled it up so I could get my earphones on. Thank you very much.
Just so you know, it doesn't fit, though. Andy knows hat's not fitting. Believe me.
I got
he's
a big
the authority.
Head too, Andy. I feel your
Andy's
feel your
an
pain.
Authority on the subject.
So just a quick thing, kind of stealing Andy's thunder here, but from Twitter. Jeff Howe saying Tlaib's workout is over. No good signs coming from it. Might see McCourty at corner today. And then getting into the poll center here. Which Jaguars player scares you the most today? Cecil Shorts, Jeremy Mincy, Chad Henne, Jason Babin, Justin Blackman, or other?
Ugh.
Anyone else on their
Shorts.
Roster?
Ugh. Shorts looks good in pants.
Well, people do not agree with you. People are afraid of Chad Henne today.
Wow.
According to the poll here.
How exactly is Chad Henne going to make plays if Cecil Shorts isn't getting the job done? Idiots. Holiday spirit, whoop de whoop,
Mr. Happy,
hibbity,
idiots. Who's the
Andy loves
you? Sound like the host that you were just on with,
idiot.
Paul, who do you got to control if you're the Patriots? Or who are you most worried about, rather, if you're the Patriots here?
Nah, Andy's right.
So you think it's Shorts over
Blackman?
Well,
big play passes, both those guys, but Shorts has been the more of the dangerous threat, believe it or not. I think Blackman is a terrific talent, and I think he's going to be good. He's shown flashes, but Shorts has had he's like the Chris Givens guy from the Rams that we talked about earlier in the year. He has at least one big play, it seems, every single week.
He leads the NFL, and if you're thinking big plays, he leads it. Average per catch, 10-yard, 20-yard catches, 50-yard score, whatever,
all
the numbers
are. And they're not all bombs either.
No.
I've seen him take a couple of quick slants and go 80. He beat the Colts with one of those earlier in the year. It was a short pass down the seam. He just took it 80 yards. So he's a dangerous guy. Blackman's a dangerous guy. And
you know, with
Henning,
the Patriots tackling, I mean, with Kyle Arrington's sure tackling, I don't think that'll be a problem.
Especially if Tlaib and Dennard aren't out there and you have McCourt.
Sorry,
you know,
Kyle, I like you.
You know, so Marquise Cole could be in a bigger role today.
Tavon Wilson, he never gets beat deep.
So you
really took a turn for the ugly.
I'm glad that they're the best team in the AFC because I can only imagine how you would talk you thought they were a middle-of-the-pack one.
You can weigh in your thoughts on this game. Emails go to webradio@patriots.com. We'll get to the phones.
Screw it, they stink.
We'll open things up.
Really?
With
how
our
is
buddy,
this team 10-4?
Our buddy Jeff in Vegas. What's going on, Jeff?
Hi, guys. How are you? Good morning.
Chilly out there in Vegas?
Yeah, it had been in the 20s, but it's gotten a little milder, so it actually hasn't been as chilly.
I like how in Vegas it's 20, in Jacksonville it's 20. Here, at least, it was like 35.
It was 20 in Jacksonville?
26, everybody was tweeting this morning.
It's funny, because when I moved out here in 97, what really tipped me over the edge was when they had like 138 inches of snow in Boston that winter. And now you guys just get like, 10 inches of winter, seemingly, lately.
A lot of people like 10 inches.
You know, just when they friggin' evacuate, it stops snowing there.
Good news is we're actually projected to maybe get some a white Christmas, chances of 3-6.
Oh, my goodness. My mom will love that. Is it going to be like a...
Your mom likes 6 inches?
Light fluffy, or is it going to be that heavy stuff? That
probably heavy, because it's going to be right on that rain-snow borderline mix.
Oh,
so
good.
It'll probably be a heavy snow. She doesn't like a good heavy, thick 6 inches.
Not so much, and I know Paul Perillo lives right near that Linfield border in the Swanky area.
Yes.
He probably has his driveway plowed.
No, I'm not on your side. I'm on the Peabody side with the common folk.
All right, so what do you got? Where's the action this week in this heavily favored Patriots?
Yeah, well, speaking just real quick of curmudgeon New Englanders or Floridians, is Vito Cellino, in fact, lined up later this program?
Oh, he is.
Yes,
we
he is.
Cannot wait.
Nice. I know why the communication goes down every time you go down to Jacksonville.
Because they don't pay their phone bill.
Yeah, digital outages are perhaps predicted.
Yes.
I love that guy. I cannot wait for him to get on. As far as the numbers go, it's held steady. New England -14.5. It just ticked down to -14.
Oh.
Total 50.5. Speaking of any weather conditions we're aware of, I know Eric Scalabino probably wouldn't be able to tell us. How's the weather in Jacksonville?
He can't see past the end of his own nose.
Evidently,
now, admittedly, that's
cold.
A long way. But, yeah, it's just they expect by game time it'll be up in the 60s. I don't think weather's an issue. So, clearly, your smart move here would be Patriots in the over.
Yeah, in fact, I've collaborated a little bit with Olivier. Do your job. I don't love the game today. I just, you know, I'm a little weary of the backdoor cover. But I know Olivia is loading up big on New England, and having that having go from the 14.5 to just the 14 is a bit helpful.
Yeah, I'm with Olivier.
I am too.
I don't really care about the half. I think they're going to wipe the Everbank floor with the Jags.
Yes, I think this is a game that's going to be over at the half. I think the Patriots are going to be in the 30s at the half.
And we know, even if Ryan Mallett throws like a pick six interception, he'll just bring Brady back in.
Yeah, he'll get that touchdown
maybe,
back.
Maybe Paul can break out a Christmas nod at halftime, hopefully. Not eggnog, a nod back.
I make no promises, but I think this game will be over in the first half in terms of
the nod. Well, that brings us to the Jeff and Vegas Smart Money Play of the Week.
Heavens to Betsy!
Brought to you by the Eye Candy Dancers.
Okay.
Thanks,
Charles.
Thanks, Pilo.
And incidentally, super quick, I tweeted out on PPGS, they're having a new reality show based on the Eye Candy show, and I tweeted out the trailer.
Nice.
Of the show. So that's, you know, give you a minute or two tidbits.
That's all I need.
What it's like. I think Andy will enjoy it.
What channel's that going to be on?
Good question. It's on like some aftermarket. The trailer, at least, is on like some aftermarket reality website of some kind.
Oh, so they're still shopping it. They're shopping the show?
They said Bravo, but it's not like the actual Bravo. It's like a freelance Bravo crew. I don't know. It's like a aftermarket version of Bravo.
Okay.
Something like that. In any case, that brings us to the Jets. We're going to go with Andy Hott. We're going to load up on New England. Use the 14, take the Pats, and the over.
Booyah!
You are correct.
Happy holidays, guys. Have a wicked good Christmas.
You too. Thanks, Merry Jeff. Christmas. You too. Happy holidays.
Our buddy Jeff in Vegas dialing us up. I think we're all on board with that one. Take the Patriots and the over.
I'm actually not predicting the over is it just kind of bogs down. You know, the Patriots go up 38, you know, to 3 and Jags don't score and they just stop. And
when have the Patriots ever bogged down?
Well, if they take Brady out.
Yeah. When have the Patriots ever taken Brady out?
What happened?
Well,
that?
He did sit out a day this week, so if they were looking to rest him a little bit. So well, I just want to caution people, by the way. I think I may have been hacked.
Your Twitter?
I got tweets coming out that I didn't send.
Maybe it was Vito Stellino hacked.
No, I think there's
a
slight chance that my kids did it from my iPad because it's come play in the snow and have a snowball fight with that elf on the shelf is the tweet. So I'm wondering if it automatically opened up my Twitter in an app in a game they're playing and somehow tweeted something.
There you go.
A little weird, though, to see your own face pop up and be like, wait, I didn't send that.
You know, speaking of these, this program that he's talking about with the Eye Candy Dance, you guys should shop the
PFW.
Yeah, shop that.
We
shop
are
that
way to, more interesting than that.
Shop it to some aftermarket fake Bravo website.
For all I know, it's a link to porn. Maybe Vito Stellino sent it.
I was going to say, we can ask Vito all about it coming up here.
What time we got Vito? Because that's our early Christmas present to our listeners.
11:15-ish.
11:15-ish. So set your recorders. You may want to record it for listening again later because he is exceptionally good.
Well, and in case the communication cuts out, that way we can have a record of it. That would be nice as well.
Or if he kicks it on live radio.
Checking the emails to webradio at patriots.com.
We usually rip the guest after they're on.
Vito Stellino. Checking the emails here from Pete. Bravo. He writes
in, "What's up, Pete?
Seeing as this matchup is a complete waste of time, can we expect any trick plays on offense this afternoon? I know we have a history of Statue of Liberty and direct snaps to running backs against the Jaguars. You see any razzle-dazzle?"
I think there's a chance. Andy Gresh asked me about that on the pregame show, and just one of those things that, you know, you give the other team something to think about, or you set it up with a reverse, an end-around that leads to a double reverse. I think some people do it.
I absolutely think some people do it.
And I generally don't think it has anything to do. I think, it's a little practice time. All these coaches go overboard in thinking, if we can get the other team to use, you know, 6 practice reps on something. You know, Bill always talks about you only have so many practice reps, blah, blah, blah. They buy into that. I generally think it's better to do it to set something else up. To, okay, here's our end around. Oh, you turn that end around into a reverse or whatever. So I kind of fall in that way, to set up another play off of it.
I mean, when I ask you, because there's two schools of thought, and I definitely think coaches do that. They put something out there so they give another team something to think about, a future opponent. Is that more worth it than surprising another team? You know, in other words,
no lo sé.
Instead of giving them time to waste and spend on something else.
Pete Carroll ran that fake punt up 47-17, and then he apologized for it because he's Pete Carroll.
Because he was up 47-17.
Some people have sort of said, well, it was smart to do that. You know, you get it on tape. You practice it. It's good practice rep for your team, which I disagree with because it's not in the same situation that you would use it, and the other team's not preparing for a fake punt. But anyway, you get it out there for someone to look at. Well, to me, I'm wondering, is it better to hold that and use it in a situation where you might actually take someone by surprise with it, as opposed to, like Andy said, you make someone use, you know, 5 minutes of practice time during the course of the week preparing for that.
Yeah, I think
there's two schools of thought there, and I'm not sure which one I think is better. I personally would go with, if it's something that you want to use at some point, I would hide it unless it's a spot that you want to use it. I don't really see as much value of, quote, getting it on tape as other people do.
But I think the idea is, you know, you have a flea flicker. You run the play the same way you run an off-guard play.
Right.
You get that safety to hesitate a half step every play of the game. There's a value in that. That's, you know, 4 extra yards for Stephen Ridley because none of them are flea flickers.
Sure.
He's not tossing it back to Brady on any of them. But because you saw it work last week for a 50-yard gain, you know, there's a value in that. And that's all. You have to weigh all those things out.
Absolutely. That's why I said there is two. I mean, like, they definitely do it. There's two schools of thought. There's definitely people that they want to get it out there because they want to give you something to think about.
And we'll see. That's sort of the reality of this matchup with the Jacksonville Jaguars, I guess we're talking about whether or not they'll be throwing in wrinkles and razzle-dazzle.
This is Adam thinking he's right
against
the
two-win team,
right?
Going down to Jacksonville here at the 10-4 Patriots.
How are they going to handle Tyson Alualu?
They'll block him. I don't know. I don't know.
They'll
block him with Mankins. So I don't know.
I'm glad that you knew what side of the ball he played.
That was a complete guess.
He had to be blocked as opposed to.
And let's not pretend the Patriots are hitting on all cylinders here. You know, as much as 2 weeks ago they were hitting on all cylinders, now they're not. Now there's points of discussion like Chandler Jones. Where's the pass rush? Chandler Jones, is he hurt? Chandler Jones, rookie wall. Chandler Jones, why didn't you play last week? You know, there's things of that nature. There's the safety play. Oh, everything was fine in the secondary. Paul Perillo was writing pulse stories in Patriots Football Weekly. Everything's settling in.
Got to take it to an
To be fair, the Globe actually wrote the same story this week after they gave
the
up
Paul
40,
Perillo, check.
You know, long,
Globe,
long yardage plays.
Check.
But I think you want to, yes, I agree with you. The Jags stink. They live up to their name. They're a bunch of Jags, except for, you know, a few players. But you need to treat them as such. If you just go down there and win 21-7, I'm not going to feel very good about this game because you should dominate them. I want to see you get some pass rush. I want to see you make life tough on Henny. I want to see you cover shorts. I want to see you run the football, throw the foot, make them look like a bad football team. And if you don't do that, then this was not a productive week where you took a step forward towards postseason.
Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, Adam Jones, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo. I'll tell you what, we'll get in some nice Tyson Alualu.
Is that Alualu.
Alualu. We'll get in some nice Tyson Alualu talk with Vito Stellino from the Florida Times Union. It's coming up next here on Patriots.com.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel & Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Wow!
Andy.
Kissing Santa Claus!
Andy.
I saw Andy kissing Santa Claus. That's what that rejoin is here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones, Paul Perillo.
Hey, somebody Andy. Put some hard work into
he's
that.
He's Andy Hart. Your thoughts? That's high quality production work
he
right
stands
there.
Under the mistletoe.
The way, that's the Jackson 5, right? It was amazing the way Michael Jackson could make his voice change, too, from the rest of the song to Andy. Really interesting.
Especially since he's dead.
Very, very versatile. Very versatile.
He did it before.
What was that, Andy? You don't want to run into Andy Hart under the mistletoe. That's what you're saying?
His rules. Rules are rules.
So Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. We're taking you up to Patriots and Jaguars.
Only
we focused a lot on the Patriots side of this matchup. Let's go behind enemy lines and take a look at the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You know the view from New England.
I'm defending the Patriots.
But what about the view from the other side?
It is what it is.
Time now to go behind enemy lines.
And to do that, we welcome in Vito Stellino from the Florida Times Union back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Vito, Patriots two touchdown favorites in this game against the two-win Jacksonville Jaguars team. If Jacksonville were to pull this one out, what would be their best chance to do so?
Well, Chad Henne threw for 416 against the Patriots last year, got 24 points. They got to start by getting some points. They only got 13 the last 2 weeks, and also Jason Babin, the new acquisition, he's got to put some pressure on Brady because they're not noted for rushing the passer. He's got a couple sack fumbles since he got here. So they need him to have a good day rushing the passer. But as I say, the last time they played the Patriots, could throw 35 points. So it's a tough matchup for the Jaguars because they play a bend but don't break defense, you know. And Brady is very good at just slowly taking 7 yards, 7 yards, 7 yards down the field. And, you know, I guess some teams that can work because they'll make a mistake, but the Brady doesn't usually make those mistakes. So it's a difficult matchup for the Jaguars.
Vito, everybody knows on paper, as you said, difficult matchup. The talent difference between the two teams is big. Are they still playing hard? Are they still fighting for Mike Mularkey, or have they mailed it in here?
No, they're still playing hard, you know. And hey, by the way, I'm not so sure the talent difference is that big. They got Tom Brady. That's the talent difference. So their defense is what, ranked 27th in the league? You know, so I don't think their defense is all that good. But they, we got Tom Brady. He makes a big difference.
Well, yeah, they also have Wes Welker, Rob Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez, Logan Mankins. Now, I'm not saying that the Jaguars don't have any representative talent, but you know, I think there's a pretty good talent difference between the two teams top to bottom.
Well, defense, to me, the two defenses are very similar. One's 31-32, the other's 27. You know?
Right.
I don't think there's that much difference in defense. But granted, the Patriots have much better offense.
Vito, I want to ask...
Tom Brady, yeah.
Yeah, well, speaking of Tom Brady, Vito, I wanted to ask you a little bit about some of the reports that have come out this weekend. Chris Mortensen on ESPN reporting that, you know, very well could be Tim Tebow in Jacksonville next year. What are you hearing on that, and how would you feel about it?
Well, they're going to be rebuilding next year. You can just distract the populace by playing a Brady. He can't be much worse than Gabbert is, you know. So, and the owner wanted him last April,
right?
So he probably still wants him, and now he can get him for free. So I wouldn't be, you know, surprised if that's what they do. But trouble is, people can't play quarterback in the NFL. So at some point, people have to start realizing that it's kind of the emperor has no clothes. No one wants to say, hey, not an NFL quarterback, you know. It's you know, Paul Brown used to say people have to go under their life's work, you know. Well, and then Chuck Noll picked it up a lot. It's time for Tebow to realize his life's work is not playing quarterback in the NFL.
One guy who looks like his life's work will be making plays in the NFL for you guys is Cecil Shorts. Obviously, you know, very impressive yards per catch, big plays. How impressed have you been with his development over the last year and a half, and is he capable of taking over a game against a bad Patriots secondary?
I wouldn't be surprised if he has some big catches, yeah. He's a real thing. You know, came out of Mount Union. He's just been knocked for taking small college guys. He only caught two passes last year, needed a kind of a year to get ready. But, no, he's a definite big, you know, deep threat. And against the Patriots secondary, if Henny's consistent, you know, you never know which Henny you're going to get. But if they get to win the Super Bowl 16 last year against the Patriots, Cecil will have a big day.
What about the running back situation? There's obviously been a lot of different guys that have run the ball, and we're not going to get to see Jones-Drew, which is unfortunate because I do think he's one of the more interesting running backs in the league. How do they find a way to help out this offense? You mentioned that they haven't been able to score, and it's just basically been Shorts and Blackman. Do they have any chance of running the football at all?
Well, if they don't fall behind, they probably could do it. But Montello isn't that too bad. You know, he's... he's a very good special teams player. Kind of starts in the running back role because three other guys are already hurt. But yeah, running the ball will be a problem. That's why they need Henning to have a big day. The kind of day he had in the opener last year. If they're going to avoid getting blown out.
Vito, a lot of our listeners follow you on Twitter now, thanks to your appearance on our pregame social last preseason, and a lot of them have brought up the fact that you tend to tweet about the Patriots a lot, sort of from afar, and, you know, Asante Samuel had an interception, and you referenced the Super Bowl where he didn't, and some questions about cheating and controversies. Is it personal? Do you hate the Patriots?
I don't hate the Patriots.
Belichick?
I think Bill Belichick's way overrated. You know, if he were a general manager of another team, or if Bill Belichick weren't the general manager, wouldn't people be complaining about the Patriots? How come he hasn't rebuilt the defense?
Well, just so you know, they complain a lot
around here. About
We've
that.
Had plenty of people that wanted to fire him as the GM and keep him as the head coach. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen because if he goes for one, he goes for both.
Well, the interesting thing is Tom Coughlin had all the power here in Jacksonville, got fired, goes to
New York
Giants. It's not the general manager. They get the players for him. He beats Belichick twice. I just think Belichick spread too thin. You know, he's doing too much. And I think it's cost him. And also, hey, they haven't won since Spygate since the whistle was blown on Spygate, how big of a factor was that in their victories?
How big do you think it was?
Well, they won three games by 3 points against bad coaches. Mike Martz only ran Marshall Faulk 17 times. John Fox went for two early in the fourth quarter. If he hadn't done that, the game would have gone in overtime. And then Andy Reid ran out the clock with a 10-point deficit to score the touchdown to lose by three. You know, so they were incredibly lucky in those three games. Now, whether or not Spygate helped, you know, we'll never know.
And they have been to two Super Bowls since then. They were, you know.
Five Super Bowl appearances can't all be luck, can they?
Huh?
Five Super Bowl appearances in 12 years can't all be luck, can it?
But I'm saying
it's mostly Brady, though, right? It's mostly Brady.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If somebody takes Tom Brady the first five rounds, Belichick have been fired years ago. You know, it's all Tom Brady.
So it's not the Patriots so much as it is Belichick with you, huh?
Huh?
It's not so much the Patriots as it is Belichick?
Yeah, I'd say that. Yeah, I think the guy's way overrated. He was 5-13 when Russell got hurt.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
And he blatantly cheated. I mean, that's on the resume. You can't argue that point. I mean, I think that has to be, that has to be included when you talk about Bill Belichick. He's a good, solid coach, but, they go on and on about how good he was as a defensive coordinator. Hey, he had LT and Carson and Banks. Hey, a lot of guys could have coached that defense, you know. So,
that's true.
I just think Belichick's overrated. He did a great job in Cleveland, right? You know, a great record there, you know.
Let me ask you, I know one of the criticisms you had of Belichick and sort of kind of rolled into the cheating was last time your team was up here, you were worried about the communication devices going out on the field, and they've gone to a new digital system this year. Does that something that still happens, or is that still an issue with you?
I don't know. Had they gone out on Patriot opponents? I mean, that was Jay was always used to complain about that. The microphone, you know, the microphone, the sidelines, continually would go out on, you know, when they were at Foxborough, you know. Now, was that an accident? You know, hey, who knows? You know, but you know, with Belichick, they always figure he's up to something, you know. So, but yeah, that was a big issue with the Jaguars in the past that. They'd go up there in a playoff game, all of a sudden they couldn't communicate with the sidelines.
Let me ask you a question. But, if you ran the Jaguars and Bill Belichick was available today, would you hire him?
No.
Why?
Because I think you can get a guy who's just a good coach. And I mean, Belichick's all about Tom Brady. You know, it's a lot of guys coach Tom Brady, you know? I mean, he was fortunate. He coached one of the best defensive players of all time and LT, and now he's got one of the best quarterbacks of all time and Tom Brady. You know, a lot of guys coach that. Look what he did in Cleveland. He didn't have that kind of talent, right?
So you think Belichick is one of the greater frauds in the history of football, basically, that he rode two players to success?
Well, I didn't say the word fraud. I'm just saying, you know, all this, you know, people
overrated is the word
know,
you use, yeah.
You know, what a great coach he is. And then, you know, he never said that, you know, and how about the classless interviews he gives after the Super Bowl losses? You know, how about showing a little bit of class, you know? And then he goes and writes books with people like David Halberstam who glorify him. And he, you know, talks like crazy when you guys are dealing with him day to day and he's the worst interview in the league, you know? So I'm just not a fan.
You have you crossed paths with him personally over the years? I know you've been around football a long time. Have you crossed paths with him?
I interviewed him when he and Tony Dungy were assistant coaches, like, 30 years ago, you know, I did an article for him on those two guys when they were young coaches, young assistants. So they were two youngest assistants in the league at the time. That was in 1980 or something, late 1970s, you know. So, yeah, I've crossed paths with Belichick, you know. So it's, I probably didn't know who I am, but I mean, I've certainly, you know, it,
I think he might.
But I don't think he wins with class. I don't think he loses with class. You know, so that's. But he wins, and so that's. But you know, he's now had 7 years. He has not won a Super Bowl with Tom Brady. Six because he was hurt one of the years. So, with somebody else who won a Super Bowl with Tom Brady, would he have been better if they had a general manager getting better defensive talent? He's wasted a lot of draft picks.
Who's the best coach in football, in your opinion?
Mike Mularkey.
You know,
Mike Mularkey?
That's a pretty good question. Right now, I'm kind of curious, what happened to the great coaches, the Bill Walshes and Chuck Knowles, the Miss Lombardis? There doesn't seem to be those kind of coaches around these days, you know? You just don't seem to have the... Well, kind of coaches.
Well, most people think Belichick is one of those. Well, just eliminated from the conversation.
Can I ask a question?
I disagree. So, you know, that's my opinion. I give you my opinion.
I guess my question would be, how many Super Bowls would Bill Walsh have if he didn't have Joe Montana?
Good point. You know,
I mean, and that's a guy that, I mean, they theoretically lucked out with. They took him in the third round or whatever it was. Right. It's similar to how Brady fell to the Patriots in the sixth round.
Well, the third and the sixth are two different,
Sure, but when you're talking about greatest players of all time, I mean, you look back, Montana should have been a first-round pick, just like Brady should have been a first-round pick, no?
Yeah, no question.
You sort of just kind of dismiss all the accomplishments because of the talent, but what coach has won consistent titles without top level? I mean, has more Hall of Famers than Chuck Knoll?
Yeah, no, I know. You have to have talent. I'm not saying you have to have talent, you know. But I'm just saying some of those guys won with class or lost with class, and I don't think Belichick does that, you know. I mean, I agree. He knows how to coach football. But, you know, do you think the Crafts like Bill Belichick?
I think they like winning.
I think they like winning.
Okay, they like winning, but you think they like Bill Belichick?
I don't know.
If you put him in a lie detector test, you know? I mean, I've heard stories, Belichick, somebody walks by cracks in the hallway, doesn't even acknowledge him, you know? And the guy hosts the team, you know? I mean, I'm not a fan.
Let me ask you a question. Let's boil it down, because this is usually my test when I hate people or like people or whatever. I treat them with respect. If you were driving by on a snowy night and Belichick was on the side of the highway with a flat tire, would you stop or accelerate right by him?
No, I'd stop.
Oh, really?
I think he's an interesting person to talk to if you know, he knows the history of the game. You know, when you get to talk about the history of the game, he's very good on that, you know, so... No, there's some things. I don't really hate the guy. I just say I kind of react to the constant, you know, deifying this guy. So I like to give a contrary view.
Do you have a Hall of Fame vote?
Yeah.
Will but, you?
He ain't getting yours, huh?
He won three, so you know, to me, you win three, then you get in. You know?
So reluctantly, you'll vote for him.
Yeah, I mean, I would hold my nose and go for him. You know?
Now, will you voice, when you get in that room and the debate process starts, will you voice some of these opinions to maybe try to just get people to think a little more clearly about Belichick and not deify him quite as much?
No, I mean, he's going to get in. You know, it's a long day. No use debating.
You got to pick your battles, right?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I did. I'm not a big Parcells guy, you know. So, but once you win three, I think that you know it's hard to argue against it. You know, I would not. I wouldn't even probably say anything. It's just like, hey, he's going to get in with the point.
All right, he is Vito Cicilino of the Florida Times Union joining us here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Vito, thanks so much for taking the time.
Okay, I hope I entertained you.
You did.
Absolutely did. Tremendous Vito, as always, you. Vito.
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll see you.
Take
excellent,
care.
Excellent stuff. Oh. Vito Cicilino joining us
here. Forgot
to
ask him if he'd run into his younger self in the press box. Eric.
Who is that now?
Eric.
Eric Scalavino.
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind Eric will look and sound like Vito in 20 years.
Eric Scalavino. That's what we...
Eric Scalavino.
Vito. I like the Belichick flat tire analogy. Imagine Belichick like explaining how he got the flat tire.
Right.
Just like, gotta drive better, gotta do all this stuff better.
Starts with me.
Avoid
nails.
Just completely berating himself.
We just didn't work out. Had to go in a different direction.
I'm interested in the story, actually. The Tony Dungy, Bill Belichick, youngest assistants in the league.
I was gonna get into that.
I mean, it's pre-internet, so I'll probably never be able to find
I was gonna sort of go into that a little bit and ask him. You know, like, so did Bill just sort of?
Did he poop on you?
Yeah. Like,
did he urinate in your Cheerios while you were interviewing him?
I'll tell you, I could absolutely envision a scenario in which Tony Dungy was charming as all hell.
Right.
And Bill was gruff as all hell, and that sort of stuck with him for 35 years.
Yeah,
and I have no problem with that.
I'll give Vito credit. No. At the end of the day, Vito said, I'll vote him in the Hall of Fame.
He's won three titles. Yeah, I can't take that away.
Well, at the end of the day, at least,
he's basically saying, I'm not going to allow it to be 44-1. I'm going to vote for him just because everybody else is.
Yeah, but, you know, at least he's not taking the grudge that far.
I wish he did.
Which I would...
See, I actually would have a little more respect for him if he stood by his convictions and said, I think he's overrated and... explained what he just said to us. I think if you don't really think he's very good, you shouldn't be voting him into the Hall of Fame based on something that you don't think was his doing.
And his basic rule is, you know, you're not supposed to have great players. If you have great players, then we never know if you're a good coach.
Well,
except for Bill Walsh.
Adam brings up, you know, Walsh with Joe Montana, and then you start talking about Chuck Knoll. I mean, I think they had nine Hall of Famers those title teams.
Vito's used to not seeing good players year after year after year.
Well, no.
So.
He doesn't think the talent difference is that big between the Jaguars
and
the Patriots.
And I also don't think, you know, like... We can go into
players.
He starts talking about Tom
Coughlin. New GM up there.
Tom Coughlin built an elite program for Jacksonville. He came in as an expansion team, and 4 years later, they were 14-2, the number one seed, playing in the AFC Championship game at home, and they lost to Tennessee. And then he ends up, you know, they end up losing like a year later, and they get rid of Tom Coughlin. That, to me, goes down as one of the biggest gaffes of all time, that they didn't realize how good of a coach they had with Coughlin. And how much he did for them. You know, this whole nonsense about GM, coach, they took this away. They had elite talent, Jacksonville. Jacksonville was as good as anyone say, 99, 2000, mm-hmm. in that area, they were as talented as anyone.
And he didn't hit a home run in the quarterback. He had a good but not great quarterback.
By the
Mark
way,
Brunell, who right. was left-handed, which is
lost
limited,
in the,
major
limited.
Black mark.
Lost in the entertainment there with Vito Cellino. Patriots and actives did come down the wire. We already knew Gronkowski, Spikes, and Dennard were all ruled out. Zusevic, Beckett, Brace, and Devlin are your four other inactives, which means...
Beckett?
Yep.
Wow.
Which means Aqib Talib will be out there on the field. There was some question marks about that, at least on Twitter. Apparently, he didn't look very good warming up, which you cited earlier in the program, Andy. Your reactions to the inactives there doesn't seem like a ton.
Just Beckett. I find it like... I mean, is he even going to play in the JV game next week? Like, because he might not, because Jermaine Cunningham is going to be active, and he might need to knock the English might need to knock the rust off
just,
in the
Vito,
final game.
Vito's rubbing off on you
a little bit.
What are you going to do there?
Well, although at one point he died on the phone, like he like dead silence, like totally forgot what he was going to say.
Well, he was forgetting
5 years.
Well, he was forgetting Lawrence Taylor's name, and you know, forgetting who the New
where
York
Tom
Giants
Coughlin
were.
Went,
yeah,
and
things of that nature.
And yet he remembers the details of how the Patriots eked out Super Bowl titles. You know, the Red Sox 7 times.
That's that. You know,
I'm telling there was ridiculous. What am I talking about?
You know, and I know that maybe some. I'm sure that most people
didn't care for David Halberstam apparently either.
Nope, most people probably found that very entertaining, but I'm sure some people thought we were a little disrespectful with, you know, sort of calling him out for hating the Patriots. But when you go out with the detail that he did about the three Super Bowls, that's a that's
personal.
To me is
a vendetta.
A pathological hatred of something else.
I don't think it was disrespectful.
Else.
I mean,
no, I'm saying something.
It'd be more disrespectful if we just made fun of him all the time, and then the one time we got him on, we
didn't say anything.
Hello, Mr. Stellino. Tell us about the like.
Right. No,
we discussed the
topic
we generally discuss in relation to him.
And I thought the way Andy got into it about specific tweets that he has sent out about.
The Patriots related
about
ones,
the Patriots,
the
negative Patriots tweets related
out, yeah.
tweets.
No.
I think those deserve to be addressed, and I think that he did, and he explained himself. I don't think very well. I think it's clear that he hates the Patriots and he hates Belichick. He says he doesn't, but I think it's pretty clear that he has not really a whole lot of respect for what the accomplishments. Listen, I think we can all sit there and look
pretty
and
sure
say
he made it clear he doesn't win with class, he doesn't lose with class.
But who cares about the class part of it is what I would say.
Well,
yeah, I mean,
oh,
we're
I
here.
Have no problem if he cares about that. There's plenty of people I hate. You hate Aaron Rodgers because of his comportment.
No. But you can't take. I don't say Aaron Rodgers is overrated because of his comportment.
Yeah, right. That's true.
Right. Aaron Rodgers is one of the best quarterbacks in football. I don't care for him. You know, there's a difference there.
You can separate the two.
He thinks Bill Belichick is overrated because he doesn't like his comportment.
He's going to vote for him for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. So. Reluctantly. Because he doesn't want to waste time. It's a long day.
That's true. He's only got...
Right? It's a long day. I don't want to waste time.
You only got so many hours, so many days left. You gotta really pick and choose there. Let's hit the phone calls. 508-298-0398. Our buddy Melvin in Tennessee has been waiting very patiently. What are your thoughts here, Melvin, on this matchup today and where the Patriots stand in the AFC?
Well, I think they're in a decent spot. Of course, I think it could be better getting that number two spot. But as far as the game today goes, I guess Paul really touched on it in the PFW in the TV episode. But I really hope that they improve on these special teams. I know it's not many people consider a big part of the game, but now that I think of it, you know, they coughed up a lot of times. I mean, in Arizona and I think Seattle with the big return. Of course, the kickoff return team last week. And then I know ever since McCourty's really fumbled in that Jets game, he's very timid running out to the line. You know, if you're struggling that hard to get to the 16, I mean, man, just take a knee. It's not even worth it, really. So I really just want to see them improve overall just the special teams. And Chandler Jones really needs to get a sack. I think Andy just briefly touched on that. You know, he's kind of went pretty silent the second half of the season. So I just want to see him tune up on a couple of things as we get ready for this playoff run. So that's the only thing really I have to say about it. Just try to improve on those little small aspects. And Ridley, of course, getting his confidence back.
All right, Melvin. So, thanks for the call. I just want to reiterate the Jones point, including the two games he missed to injury. In 6 weeks, he has yet to touch a quarterback. Touch. I don't need a sack. I'd like you to just hit him. Touch him. Finger him.
Interesting.
Get a finger on him. That's a long time for a guy who mid-season, Greg Bedard said it was a toss-up between Jason Pierre-Paul and him for his mid-season All-Pro at defensive end.
Greg Bedard, check.
Wait, the fact is not criticizing. I mean,
right.
He wrote mid-season that Jones was a candidate for, and he hasn't touched a quarterback in 6 weeks.
Well, just to illustrate that, glowing about Chandler Jones on this program earlier in the season.
What?
We haven't said anything.
Oh no, we did
about Chandler Jones.
No, but I never thought he was a midseason
All-Pro.
No, I didn't think that.
No.
Okay, good.
You know, and I don't think he was playing anywhere near that level. I thought, matter of fact, I thought statistically he looked better than he was playing.
Right.
I thought when he was playing, quote-unquote, really well, he was getting a sack and a strip sack and really not making a whole lot of other plays during the course of a game. Now he's not even getting that. You know, you looked at it, people were sort of talking, forget all, you know, they were talking about him as the defensive rookie of the year, almost like it was matter of fact. I don't think he's the defensive rookie of the year now. You know, and I'm not arguing as to who is, because I don't see all the other teams all the time. But, you know, like I look at Gerard Mayo, his rookie year, and he was consistent from start to finish that year, and I don't think we've seen that out of Chandler Jones.
Now, do you believe it's ankle, rookie wall?
I think it's part of everything. I also think he's a little smaller, and I think teams have sort of looked at that and maybe powered up a little bit against him. I think he's been worn down. I brought up that Andy, you know, he needs to bulk up a little bit. He needs to get on the program, if you know what
right.
I'm saying.
If teams
a little nutrition at the NFL level,
teams
would,
in the Big
I think
East,
would do Chandler Jones well.
Teams in the Big East could block him. You would think that some of these NFL teams could figure it out as well. It could be.
And I also, you know, I don't want to dismiss that ankle injury too, because you know, playing with an injury is not as easy as you think. And I wonder if the ankle problem was more of a part of it than we know. I wonder if maybe mentally he's sort of wondering about pushing off and getting that explosive. Maybe he lost some explosiveness because of the ankle injury. That would make sense. And I also think, like I said, he's a smaller guy. And in his first NFL season, he's played more football. He missed half the year last year, right?
Indeed.
He's probably played more football this year than he has in his life in one season. And he's probably wearing down a little bit. He was, I think, a little bit smaller to begin with. So I'm not ready to give up on Chandler Jones at all. I think he's a terrific talent. I think he's going to be a very good player in this program for a long time. But I think right now Andy had the stats to prove it. He's been very quiet.
Let's go to our buddy Chester in Portland. What do you got today, Chester?
Hey, what's up, guys? You know, I've got to say, first off, I'm really disappointed Beckett's inactive. I was hoping we could kick the tires on that guy, at least in the second half today. But, oh, well, still got one more to go.
it's like the Taylor Price watch, the Jake Beckett watch.
Yeah. Big time. Anyway, that being said, I'm looking forward to teeing off on the Jags today. You know, before last game's finished, God, I haven't had a case of sports blue balls that bad since David Tyree and one nut short of sending him to Vegas to start a show. My God. You know, the ultimate nutcracker, Andy, you mentioned that's kind of your nickname. You know, to me, the ultimate nutcracker is seeing Arrington outside again, you know. And with that said, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but Tavon Wilson played a little corner in college, didn't he?
Played a lot of corner in college.
Yeah,
he started there.
You know, I wonder if we're going to see some testing there. You know, I know we're developing this kid, but, you know, I just like to see a little more depth there. And with his size, you know, just in sub, I'd like to hopefully, you know, see a little bit of a change there. Harrington outside really freaks me out, and I just don't know if that's going to last against Blackman today. I'm guessing those two will probably match up most with, you know, shorts on the other side. But, anyway, moving along, I'm just wondering what our plan of attack is going to be on offense. You know, I heard the points earlier about, you know, opening the playbook a little bit, but I question whether or not if we stay a little more vanilla and, you know, limit the tape for our opponents going into the playoffs. You know, I heard that reference about, you know, an end around turning to a reverse and, you know, throwing them off, so to speak. But, you know, I'm wondering how much tape we really want to kind of yield out there in this next 2 weeks. My opinion, we run with Ridley. Let's get this kid more confidence, just kind of piggybacking on what you said. And I think another big one is keeping Lloyd active. You know, I like the way the outside passing game is flowing with him. And, you know, he's looked great these last couple weeks. But I hate to see him get stagnant and kind of fall off the table there. So, you know, it's kind of my points there. On defense, I just think the D-line really holds the key here in kind of stabilizing that secondary today, just knowing we're banged up. And, you know, I think Chandler Jones is going to start to shine a little bit more. I do think he hit a little bit of a wall, but I'm hoping that he can rebound just in time here. That's all I got. Let's just hope to get a little better this week, guys. Take care, and Merry Christmas to all you guys, huh?
You too. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
I appreciate it, Chester. That's our buddy Chester in Portland calling us up here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo with you. you. And time now for our Bose headphone giveaway.
Yeah,
the,
Bose.
The eighth caller to the contest line, 508-298-0392. Again, the contest line, 508-298-0392, wins a pair of Bose SIE2 Sport headphones. To push your workout to the limit, you need headphones that can keep up. Bose SIE2 Sport headphones are engineered for exercise, offering acclaimed Bose sound, sweat and weather resistance, and a comfortably secure and exclusive Reebok fitness armband. You demand more from your workout, shouldn't you demand more from your headphones as well? Bose, game-changing sound. Coming up on the Nugget Donuts Patriots pregame social, we get the guys' keys to the game. That's next here on Patriots.com.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Pfft, rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England.
We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance, with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
Hey, King of the King,
it's Paul Perillo.
The donkey, King of the King, the Italian Christmas donkey. La 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 la.
Paul Perillo the donkey, if that's what this one is?
Yeah, because you can make fun of Italians.
Yeah, right. You can just... You can
and fat, bald men.
It's okay if you make fun of Italians.
Just generalize.
No repercussions for that.
Chile. It must be Italian.
If Rob Parker was wondering if Robert Griffin III was more Italian, he'd be fine. He'd be fine.
Are you a cornball Italian?
Still be a...
he'd have gotten off with nothing.
Real cornball Italian there. Paul Perillo.
No 30-game suspension for making fun of us Italians.
Half Italian. Half Italian over here.
Good
Adam
for you.
Jones on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame.
Only the
social.
Good half?
Yep, only the good half. That's correct. We're live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. I asked the question about Patriots and actives a little while ago, but Andy Hart would like to weigh in on your thoughts on some of these inactives.
Well, just a couple notes, and one of them, Jeff Howe, I thought, pointed out an interesting thing. With 19 guys who were questionable on the injury report, the team has 4 healthy scratches among their 7 inactives for this game.
Vito Stellino somewhere is cackling away at that one.
Hey, she's on the injury report. What do you want to tell me? She's on the injury report.
And then the other thing is my guy who was aching to get on the roster is now aching to contribute because, what's his first name?
Kamar.
Kamar Aiken, active. Aiken his debut with the Patriots.
He's Aiken his debut.
See what I did there?
I do.
Let's see if he can be Aiken some plays.
Everyone's head is
it
Aiken.
His NFL debut, Paul? I don't know.
Heads are Aiken after
Yeah,
Andy.
I believe so.
Second Aiken the Patriots have had in the last 3 or 4 years. Sam Aiken.
He was signed to the active roster in Buffalo last November. He played in 2 games as a reserve, so it's not his NFL debut.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Danny Aiken.
Oh, you're right.
Aiken plays on special teams.
I wonder if maybe you see a little less of Welker today and you want just have some other guys available.
Sure.
One thing that Chester touched on that I thought was interesting before we took the break, Brandon Lloyd, I think he makes a good point. I think you want to keep that momentum going. He doesn't have to get...
So we're back to the regular season. We've got to come in with the Brandon ratio to make
no,
sure
he doesn't,
we don't want him to disappear.
He doesn't have to get 10 for 190. I thought last week was by far... his most impressive outing.
That's the first time we've seen the Patriots really go downfield to him, that
53-yard
play.
He did it in a lot of different ways. Yeah. Usually it's, he'll make a few plays on the sideline with those back shoulder plays. He's
no one comes through in a 28-point deficit like Brandon Lloyd.
Yeah, but I thought that he did more than that. I mean, give the guy his due.
And in fairness, it's been 2 weeks in a row with Lloyd where he's been
Good. Vito Stellino doesn't like Bill Belichick.
I know. And I
don't care
for
Brandon Lloyd.
But I thought last week was a little different. Like at the first week, I thought he made some plays along the sidelines. He got open deep, but he made all kinds of different plays last week against San Francisco, and I thought in a week that clearly the Niners' defensive backs were affecting the Patriots' receivers, they didn't really affect Brandon Lloyd, which I thought was a good sign. Like to see some more of that continue, even if it's only for a short time. I don't know. I have a feeling this game's going to get out of hand quickly. I really do.
It feels like...
Hope so.
I have a feeling 7 minutes into the game, it's going to be 14-0.
It has the makings of that Rams game all over again. Is sort of...
Well, I hope it doesn't. I could use the Rams game without the early... oh, my God, they allowed another bomb for a touchdown.
A
you know
point.
What I'm saying?
It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, you can weigh in. 508.
That's what I'm saying now. We didn't say no.
298-0398. No.
Think the Patriots could break the scoring record?
You can email us, webradiopatriots.com. The single season scoring record.
I believe they need 86 points
in
2
games. They need more than they're averaging.
Right.
In their last 2 games.
But they're playing less than average team this week.
They're playing,
And they could hang 50 this week.
Right. And then you'd only need 36.
Yes.
And you know they'll go for the 600 then, if that's the case, next week.
Vito Stellino will pound his fist into a desk somewhere. As we look ahead to Patriots
what, 97
and Jaguars here, 1 o'clock Eastern kick from Jacksonville.
Well, if they put up 50 this week.
Let's focus in on the game.
47 next week.
Sure.
Reel these two in. Let's get their keys
let's
to the
just
game.
Ignore the host.
Sure.
You've waited all week for it.
No, I can't wait.
Here are Andy and Paul's keys to the game.
All right, we always start with Andy. Let's start with Paul. What's your key to the game?
Well, we're going to have the same key this week because I think the only thing that is of concern is the big play aspect of the Jags. And I'm not trying to make that out to be more than it is. I'm just looking at the pure numbers that this team has passing. Cecil Shorts has, you know, a very healthy average per catch. Justin Blackmon, I think, is a good, young, talented receiver. One thing that I would disagree with Chester on, I think that'll be reversed. I think Blackmon will, Tlaib will have Blackmon, and I think Shorts is a guy that Arrington probably will line up with, and I think that they'll probably get more attention to, so they'll give him some help.
God, I hope so.
Well, I'm looking at, I think.
Because if not,
don't you look at Blackmon as more of the traditional, bigger outside receiver that Tlaib generally lines up with, and Shorts is a little bit more of a, you know, inside guy that's going to get down the seam on you?
Yeah, but he's a more dangerous down-the-field guy, which concerns me because I think Kyle Arrington can't cover down the field.
Well, I mean, it definitely concerns me as well.
But I think with safety help, you
want to make sure, Adam, you know, they had done a good job of sort of eliminating the over-the-top plays. Last week was a step back in that regard. Yeah, I think you want to get back to what you were doing the previous 3 or 4 weeks. Keep everything in front of you.
Before Andy's key, why was that last week? Is it Kaepernick's more mobile and maybe you get caught looking in the backfield? Why were they getting beat over the top last week?
Well, I think that they had a team that actually pressured them, and they tried to get the ball down the field. I thought Houston did it on the first series of the game the week before, and that Lestar Jean on a third down was open behind, and he didn't make the catch. Arrington was beaten on that play as well. And I don't think they really took too many more chances down the field. I think that to beat the Patriots, you need to go at them. You need to put pressure on them with the passing game. And I thought San Francisco came out intent on getting the ball down the field through the air, and they did it. And I think some teams don't do that. So I don't know how much improvement there has actually been as opposed to Mark Sanchez. And, you know, Ryan Tannehill, I thought, missed some opportunities to get down the field in Miami a few weeks ago. So that's why that's my key to the game. I want to see if that's actually fixed or if it's something to continue to worry about heading into the playoffs.
Andy, your key.
My key to the game is going to be more big picture, and I think you need to take a positive advancement in a few different areas today. First and foremost, the pass rush. You know, I think you need to get after Chad Henne. It plays right into that, obviously. If he doesn't have time to make the plays, then he won't be able to make them down the field to Cecil Shorts. And
if he doesn't have time to make the plays, he won't be able to make
them. By the way, did you notice this? I get flack for taking a big picture view on this this pregame show. And the key to this
specific
game.
No, you dismissed the game in the first sentence introducing the pregame show.
Andy's
you
key.
Might as well have said click off now
turn
and
off.
Stop listening.
Andy's key for this specific game is a big picture view. Okay.
And
anyway,
I also think
that interesting as well.
Big picture on the other side, I want to see Stephen Ridley. I want to see him get a buck. I want to see him get the ball. I want to see him get low. I want to see him avoid turning the ball over. And I want to see him take an advancement that gives you confidence heading into the postseason for that wild card weekend game.
Sticking to that big picture thing and circling back to something we touched on earlier in the show.
And I want to see Kamar Aiken making a play.
It's too early to start working out the permutations and trying to figure out whether you want the 3 or the 4. That's something for next week, correct?
Yeah, and I also don't think you're going to be in a position where you can do it because I think Baltimore is really in a free
fall. Well, in other words, if they lose to the Giants, they're going to take it right out of your hands.
Yeah, I you're not going to be able to get behind them, you know, to get the 4. So I think that'll be a hard thing to do. And I also don't think that Belichick is looking at it all that differently. You know, I'm not sure that there's a huge difference. You know, I would much rather play Indianapolis than Pittsburgh. But I'm not sure that you go through the hoops that you did, you know, say back in 05 when they – you know, it was right there for them that they could sort of manage the game and make sure they didn't win it and then play Jacksonville at home.
Yeah, I think they just have to worry about their own business and playing good football this week and getting healthy next week. And, you know, I guess you could say if he wanted to go to Houston, if he had some fear of going to Denver, he could try to look at it that way. But now you're super projecting. And I think the most important thing for them is to be playing good football and be healthy.
Maybe, Adam, if the Patriots were to win, but Baltimore beats the Giants today, So now it's still only a one-game separation heading into that last game. Maybe you look at it and say, well, maybe Baltimore's righted the ship a little bit. They can win their last game. You know, we need our rest anyway. Let's see how it goes. They'll be playing at the same time. You know, maybe Baltimore has a lead and you can sort of, you know, you have Andy JV game that he's talking about. You know, maybe it wouldn't be the worst thing. But you have to sort of play today, I think. You have to play it out and make sure you're playing well.
On that Giants game, and it's a little foreshadowing for the Sunday six-pack, which is back this week. We haven't had it in a couple of weeks. You know the Giants are favored in that game in Baltimore?
They should be.
On the road. Favored at Baltimore. Place where they never lose, and they lost last week.
Baltimore is the Titanic.
Yeah, well,
after hitting the ice.
They've lost the last two at home.
Well, is it two in a row?
They lost to Pittsburgh
with
Charlie Batch.
No, it was nice. Everybody
parked. Two in a row.
And then
they got
blown out by Denver last week.
Sounds like we know which way you guys are leaning, but we will get to the six-pack coming up here in about 10 minutes. Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social here on Patriots.com. Let Dunkin' Donuts make you a sandwich. Dunkin's turkey, cheddar, bacon, and ham and cheese bakery sandwiches are made with care so you can enjoy life's simple pleasures. Get yours today. America runs on Dunkin'. What do you?
I'm just laughing at people who are retweeting and favoriting my tweet before that I didn't send.
the snowball.
I probably should have checked
the
link and made sure it's not porn.
Right.
By the way, Andy, I thought we agreed to call Cecil Shorts see-through shorts in honor of Fred. I thought that was.
I don't agree to sound like an idiot just for
no.
Fred.
Okay.
Yeah, I let Fred handle the sounding like an idiot.
There's only room for one idiot on this show, and it's Fred.
Let's get to some of the emails. webradio@patriots.com. That's
right,
what Patrick writes
in the press box. Like, yeah, son of a bitch.
I wonder if he was near Vito during the interview.
Patrick writes in, guys, no need to talk about this game. Like Pac-Man, I want to talk about the Super Bowl in the secondary. I feel like if Arrington has to cover downfield, the postseason will end up with a loss. But if Dennard and Tlaib can stay and get healthy, the Pats are going all the way. Is that an asinine intuition?
I don't want to call it asinine, but I also don't feel as confident as that based on what I saw last week from the 49ers, where they were blown by those guys like they were not there. Well, yeah. I mean, the truth is never mean.
It's
you
not
you
the
chuckled
reason.
Over there at him, but
no, I was chuckling.
Randy Moss blew by Dennard.
I was chuckling.
Dennard allowed a fullback, tight end guy to just kind of drift into the end zone for a big play. I mean,
Crabtree
got split.
Down the middle.
Yeah,
you pointed me to your tweets. I was chuckling at those. Sorry, that was.
Did you click on the
I,
link?
I
to make sure
on the link at one of those
no.
things.
It's not porn, is it?
No.
Okay, good. I don't want to be a Vito Stallone.
Be on Deadspin. Yeah, you don't need that.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think
those things.
Who's
my 5-year-old son who did it?
I don't think those things are related. You know, the whole Arrington. Listen, the secondary, with or without those guys, is the number one concern to me. The pass defense is still the number one concern defensively.
As Vito pointed out, I mean, it's same as the Jags. Essentially.
Same as the Jaguars, you know, 27th. Oh, whatever.
Put Tom Brady on the Jags. They'd be 10-4.
Vashon from New York writes into webradio at patriots.com.
That's funny.
And this is a school of thought that I've heard out there quite a bit. Must say I'm not looking forward to this playoff run without a bye. The competition this year is very tough, and we most likely will face teams with a very physical defense, which seems to be the Patriots' offense's kryptonite. I look back to their horrible playoff runs when they had to play the wild card game and their bout against the Ravens where they got blown out, and 2006 where they should have lost to San Diego in the divisional round. Those are the games that come to mind. I know how Fred was so confident in this run because the defense showed how porous they were last week. Anyways, hoping for a Denver loss and a Houston loss the next 2 weeks because that's the only way we're going to get back to the ship is by losing to one of those teams. And you know, I've heard plenty of people argue that and callers to the postgame show and the pregame show as well saying, well, you get more battle-tested, the tougher road would build this team up for the Super Bowl. How do you guys feel about that?
No, thanks.
I don't like it.
Yeah. So you're with Vashon here and that the...
Well, no, I'm not. It's not to me. It doesn't eliminate your chances. I think Vashon thinks there's no way they're going to get by those. I still think, as we touched on at the top of the show, I still think the Patriots are a formidable team, and I think they're the best team in the AFC right now. Where I get separated from some people is I don't think there's this enormous gap between the Patriots and number two. I think Denver's really good. I think Houston's really good. I think Pittsburgh is a formidable team. Hell, I think if Baltimore could somehow find a way to get out of this free fall, they have some talent, you know, with Torrey Smith and Anquan Boldin. If Joe Flacco has one of those games like he did when he played you the first time, as opposed to the way he's played the last 8 weeks, who knows? But I'm just talking about physically. Baltimore is a team I'd like to see right now in the playoffs. Quite frankly, I think the Patriots would kill them the way they're playing right now. But you know, I don't just dismiss the competition. That's Rashawn says the road is tougher. It is. The road is tougher than it was last year when you played, when you had a bye, then you played Denver, and you had basically one game at home against Baltimore to get to the Super Bowl. This is a much tougher test.
Andy?
Yes.
Your feelings on the battle-tested path to the postseason.
Yeah, I don't buy it. This team's battle-tested enough. They need to win games. They need weeks off. If they can get weeks off, that's far more important. I don't have any questions as to whether they can meet the challenge of a battle.
They didn't lose to the Giants last year because they didn't have a tough test to get there.
Now, admittedly, last year they had two byes to get to the
title. But that's
game,
not but, why they lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl. I mean, the Giants, for whatever we say about the Giants, the Giants have found a way to beat the Patriots consistently.
It was Tom Coughlin, who went to New York, wasn't the GM anymore. They gave him the talent.
You know,
He went to long pause, think. Oh, he went to the New York Giants, right.
Vito, you still with us there?
Three times in a row they've beaten the Patriots, and, you know, a fourth time they gave them all they could handle in that last game of the regular season back in 07. So,
but that should have helped them because then they were battle-tested in the finale.
Well, maybe that's why the Giants won, because they got battle-tested from that game. Who knows? To me, I agree with Andy. How many battles do the Patriots have to win before we say, you know what, I no longer have to worry about the Patriots being battle-tested?
I'd like them to be bye-tested.
Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, Adam Jones, Andy Hart, and Paul Perillo were presented by Yokohama Tires. Buy any set of four Yokohama Tires now through January 31st and get a $100 Patriots Pro Shop gift card free.
Woo!
This offer is available at all participating Sullivan Tire Service Centers, but hurry, supplies are limited. Coming up on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, we get to the Sunday six-pack where we make our picks here in Week 16 of the NFL. We also head up to the press box with Eric Scalavino. It's all coming up on Patriots.com.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder wait list and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center,
located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance. With over 100 ASE-certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
Adam Jones.
You really are a heel. You're
true.
As cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Gray.
It is true. I am a mean one. I took the claws out for Vito there, too, when he was just going on and on about how there's no
good coaches
anymore. It's just all luck, and then he's reminiscing about Bill Walsh. It's like Bill Walsh found his quarterback outside of the first round. Bill Walsh lucked into Joe Montana as much as Bill Belichick lucked into Tom Brady, so I don't know.
I don't know about quite as much. But
third round, he's right. But
third round, you're going to play in the league. Sixth round, you're not supposed to play in the league.
Yeah, I guess you look back at it, and I don't know. Montana should have been the first overall pick. You know,
well, so should Brady have.
Yeah, that's my point. So you found each of these guys a lot later than they should have been found. You lucked into them. You know, if everybody knew what they knew now about Joe Montana, he never would have been around in the third round. That was sort of my point. So Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo. I'm a mean one. Paul's the donkey. And what were you again, Andy?
The douche.
I'm kissing Santa Claus.
Oh, yes, you're kissing Santa Claus. That's correct.
Underneath the mistletoe last night.
Take your thoughts, 508-298-0398. Emails go to webradio@patriots.com. We're taking up to Pats and Jags, 1 o'clock Eastern kick down in Jacksonville.
Let's go right to the Sun Life post game show now.
I just wanted to go right to Christmas
Eve.
It sounds
like an excellent plan. We can do that if you'd like. But as we like to do during each and every pregame show, let's check in with a member of our Patriots fan club.
You gotta fight for your right to party.
Got a good tailgate?
Oh man, they're playing one hell of a party.
Think you're the loudest group at Gillette?
Woo-wee!
It's time we find out as we hear from our fan club of the week.
Our fan club of the week, the Triangle Pats fans, hopefully not the Bermuda Triangle, Christina representing that fan club. What's the atmosphere like there, Christina?
Hey, guys. It is actually more exciting than I thought it was going to be. There's a lot more people that are still stuck here in town, probably because the weather is a lot nicer than up there right now.
So some people actually have a little interest in this game, even though our host here on the pregame social basically looked past the game from very minute of this show.
You wanted to go right to the postgame show?
Yeah. So, what's the weather down there? It's nicer than in Jacksonville?
Well, I mean, up in Foxborough, at least. It's about, maybe 55 and sunny right now.
It might be nicer than Jacksonville. Reports out of Jacksonville where it was 26 this morning when they woke up.
Ooh, well, that stinks.
That's nippy.
Okay, I'm preparing my body to hit the road for Connecticut for the holidays this afternoon after the game. So, I'm sympathizing with those people right now.
That's a long drive. What? How are you going to prepare with your fuel in terms of food and drink today? What do we got on the menu?
I'm thinking lots and lots of wings.
Nice.
I'm in a wing kind of mood today, so I'm going to
I could
get
use some wings.
And then I'm going
to
hit the road.
See, the difference between you and me is apparently you're fine eating a bunch of wings and then hitting the road. I'd have to hit about 12 rest stops after that.
Well, yeah, that's what they make Tums for, right?
That's true. Tums, Imodium, so Pepto.
What's the crowd like? How many? What do you got for numbers today?
We're in about 50 folks out here today.
50?
So
nice.
We've already got about 25 of them out here.
Wow, yeah, I'm looking at a picture.
We've actually got a couple people that just walked in, some new folks today, too, that just found us on the app this morning. So
that actually surprises me. I thought with the holiday season and this lackluster game,
absolutely.
I thought, you know, nobody would be getting together today.
You know, that's what we thought. But, hey, we're here every game, and, you know, people are pretty excited. Everybody's in a good mood. I've got a few Christmas cards for my people, too. So got the warm fuzzies.
Do you have any concern today about this game? Any, you know, I know some people tried to say it's a trap game because, you know, the Patriots played two back-to-back big games, and this is sort of just a 1 o'clock against a JAG team. Any concern of a letdown here emotionally for this team?
You know, that's always a concern. You never really know what's going to happen, but I'm not too worried about it. I mean, Blaine Gabbert doesn't really scare me, so... I could probably play him in my flag football league, and we'd probably be okay.
All right. Well, you enjoy the game, and drive safely on your way up to New York. There's a storm coming through, so make sure you beat the storm.
Oh, I'm going to Connecticut. I'm going right through New York. I don't stop in that state.
Yeah, I don't either. What a terrible state.
I'll be up there next weekend for the Dolphins game, so I'm pretty excited.
Oh, nice. You'll see that JV game. You might see Ryan Mallett play a lot.
Yeah. Hey, you know, scoping out the future. That's what we're doing.
Hopefully the future is bright. All right, have a good weekend. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you and all your
triangles. Safe travels, Christina.
All right, you guys too. Happy holidays.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Christina. From the Triangle, Pats Fans Club, as we're going up to Patriots and Jaguars.
They should all do like you remember the diamond cutter from DDP?
Mm-hmm.
Bah, they should all do that with the triangle, though. That'd be like a cool celebration for them. If you're listening, do the triangle, diamond cutter, whatever you want to call it as a group. All 55 of you.
Yes.
Make sure you do that while you're listening to the pregame social. Let's go back to the phone.
They care more about the game than you do.
Yeah.
I just want to let that, because I really thought
Shut up. He just called it a lackluster game and said we should just go right to the postgame show, yet I get chastised for wanting to take a bigger picture.
Well, maybe I took my cue from you, my host. But I really thought today would be a day like, oh, I got Christmas shopping to do. I got to do this. I got to do that. I'll check in on the Pats game to make sure they're winning in like the second quarter.
Yeah,
but
today was a smartphone day.
Yeah. And I'm surprised you can get 55 people to come out and watch a game as a group. And
Flash has the photo up right now, and it's a big crowd, a lot
like
of Patriots jerseys.
I mean, would you rather drive in the day or at night? You know, you're going to wait until the game's over and then head to Connecticut. You have a long drive. I like the passion and dedication that you could learn something from these people, Adam.
I certainly could.
She may or may not be stopping by the show next week to give us some holiday gifts.
Andy, what's the matter with you?
Gift of the triangle.
You didn't even like solicit a picture of her cleavage or anything like that.
I don't know. It didn't seem appropriate on this
it's
Christmas
the holidays.
Weekend. Yeah.
You hit on her for about 10 minutes last year.
I also
year.
Thought that was true, too, and I didn't want to go over the top.
So what are you wearing?
What is this story? What is this?
She was on last year.
That's basically the story.
I think I made a lot of triangle references about, you know, her triangle.
Right. And so you didn't want to.
You don't want to go too far.
Asking to send in pictures of triangles.
Gotcha.
All sorts of stuff like that.
So she's coming in next week.
I think it was warmer.
Nice.
Too. I think that when it's winter, it doesn't lend itself
like
to
like
a
I assume she's probably got like a jacket on, so I can't even see her tatas and stuff.
That is true. Let's go to Tyrone in Delaware. What do you got, Tyrone?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
What's
Merry
up?
Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Yeah, thank you. I'm calling from back home. I'm in St. Thomas now, enjoying the weather down here.
Very nice.
Yeah, so I'm here chilling. I ain't going to be able to watch the game. So, but I'm calling in because, you know, last week when I called, I think it was Tuesday, I called the John Rook Show. And we was talking about, you know, my favorite topic, you know, the wide receivers, right?
You excited about Kamar Aiken today, called up from the practice squad?
I've been watching all week because I know we definitely need a wide receiver. And John Rook banking on about, when will Gronk come back or whatever. But whenever Gronk come back, suppose somebody else get hurt. We got two more games left. And if somebody else get hurt, which it could happen on any play, then you're back to the same predicament.
Well, plus... I would add to your side is Welker already had the ankle injury, and then he looked like he banged up his knee last week, was wearing a surgical sock all week in the locker room. I have my concerns about his health.
Well, Deion Vance is not, you know, like I said, I love him. I still love him. He's a nice guy. Like Heath Evans says, he can't run. That's just point blank. I mean, that's the truth. Yeah. And, you see, that's my concern is, you know, going into the playoffs because I don't care what they do these last two games. I don't really care. My thing is, if we meet Cincinnati or the Steelers, what are we going to do when we play them? But anyhow, when I was talking to John Rook, then I laid my case out because I was at the Baltimore-Denver game. I was at the game, and, you know, all them fans, they're riding on me, you know, New England, whatever, because I have my jersey on. And, you know, they were saying that, yo, we rather – all of them, and to be honest, all of them said they was going to lose that game to the Broncos, all of them. And so I asked them, I said, yo, well, which offense you think more – you know, just for the hell of it, I asked them. And they said they rather fast New England offense than Denver's because New England, their defense is, like, catered to their to New England's offense and whatever. And then me and John Luke got into it back and forth. And then another call, I think somebody emailed and said that, I guess he was listening to what I said, and he emailed and said to the John Rook show and said, which wide receivers he would rather take, Decker and what's his name, Thomas or Brandon Lloyd and Welker. And strangely enough, when I laughed, John Rook said he would pick Welker and Brandon Lloyd over them two. And I'm like, oh, you cannot be serious.
Well, look, you gotta add in Kamar Aiken as part of that package as well. And Tyrone, we appreciate the phone call. 508-298-0398.
So Tyrone went to the Broncos-Ravens game and wore his Patriots shirt. And got in debates with Ravens
fans. I like it.
To be fair, everything Tyrone says sounds like argumentative. I called in last week.
And I told him.
Why are you going to yell at me?
I told him.
Like, so I could see how he just says hello, basically, to a Ravens fan and gets into a fight or a
Yeah, and, you know, the whole thing, too, about I think Patriots fans, and Tyrone is not alone in this, I think we concentrate too much on the strict title of wide receiver.
Right.
The Patriots receivers are deep.
Pass catchers.
Yes. And because you can't eliminate Gronk and Hernandez. And we have no reason to believe that Gronk is not going to be a part of the equation in the playoffs. Now, if he's not, then that changes the equation a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have Lloyd as your fourth best target, I'm sorry, that's a pretty deep receiving group. And that's what he is if everybody's out there.
You know who has a pretty deep receiving group I was watching last night? The Falcons. That's a scary matchup if you go to Super Bowl.
Well,
I know everybody thinks the Falcons are soft as goo, but I'm sorry. Jones, White, and Gonzalez could absolutely eat alive this secondary.
And then Harry Douglas as that fourth guy.
No, but I'm just saying,
it's not great.
Jacquizz Rodgers out of the
Those two guys, you know, running down the...
Jones is an absolute animal.
They both are.
And I know Roddy White is, you know, the more accomplished receiver, but Julio Jones, to me, is an animal.
Well, he's their number one receiver now. Basically admitted it.
Absolutely.
And when you can admit...
How's that trade looking?
That when you can just push aside a guy named Roddy White and the production he's had because he's no longer... That's a pretty impressive unit.
Did you see on the Jones touchdown where he almost got killed because they had something set up at the end of the end zone in Detroit?
Oh, no. The one he caught in the back of the end zone was a phenomenal catch.
Like 4 yards out of the end zone, there was something like set up against the wall, and he hit like a pad with it, the middle of his back.
Our buddy who just dialed us up, Tyrone, certainly fostered a little bit of disagreement on the Patriots receivers. We tend to disagree when we do the Sunday six-pack as well. Let's get to that right now.
Ah, nothing like cracking open a six-pack. Andy, Paul, and Adam pick six games against the spread. And just like your favorite beer, these guys are ice cold.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Time for the Sunday six-pack.
What happened to the country toot under that, Kevin?
I wanted to switch it up because I wanted to leave this under the
Let it ride
segment, so we had something to move it along a little bit.
Beautiful. Before we get to the games here,
telling us to move it along.
How are we faring on this? We haven't done this in a few weeks because the Patriots have been prime time between Monday night and Sunday.
You have all been idle the past 2 weeks here.
So Andy's not gaining on me, is what you're saying.
Well, you and Andy are now tied.
Ah, crap, really?
You're 26-20.
Nostra dumbass.
And you're both three games behind Paul Perillo, who's at 29-20-2.
Just 2 weeks to go. All right, what's our first game, Kev?
First game, Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh by three.
I'm going to take Pittsburgh. This is a very good, interesting football game. A couple teams that I think the Patriots would like to avoid in the first round of the playoffs. Pittsburgh's been all over the place. You know, about a month and a half ago, I believe it was, they were anointed the best defense in football. And then they went out and got blowed out by the Chargers. And everybody, oh, what's wrong with Pittsburgh and the injuries and all that? I just think the experience, the Ben Roethlisberger factor, I think they win this football game. It's nut cutting time, and they usually cut their nuts right.
Yeah, I like Pittsburgh in this game too, but I don't have an explanation as to what's happening with them. I don't know why they've
lost. They're going to cut their nuts right, clearly,
is
the key to this.
You know, Andy, you know, that's Andy terminology, but I agree with his.
I don't really know what nut cutting means. I use it all the time. I mean, I know what it means, but I don't really know what it means.
Roethlisberger, to me, this is all about Roethlisberger.
Nut cutting means
Roethlisberger. He needs to get on track. He
translates loosely to nut cutting. Is what it is.
They haven't scored enough points as a general rule, and he hasn't been overly effective since he's returned from his injuries. This is it. This is a playoff game today. Cincinnati, I think Cincinnati has a good football team. I don't have a lot of confidence in them. I think that they tend to shrink in the biggest moments. I think this is a big moment. They never seem to be able to beat Pittsburgh. This is in Pittsburgh. This is a playoff game to me, and I take Pittsburgh in that
situation. I'm going to go with the Steelers as well. They're favored by 3 at home, which means Vegas views this as
an even
game on a neutral field, and I just feel that Pittsburgh's the better team. So give me the Steelers. What's next, Kev?
Game 2, New Orleans at Dallas. Dallas by 2.5.
That was Andy Hart breathing heavily into the microphone.
I am going to go with the New Orleans Saints on the road. I can't pick Dallas to win when they need to win. I don't trust them, as Paul would say about the Bengals. I never feel comfortable with Tony Romo as my quarterback. I know he's played well, but I'll take Drew Brees and the Saints to get the job done.
I'll take the underdog as well on the road. I think New Orleans is sort of playing free and easy right now. They kind of, you know, the Bounty Gate stuff is behind them. I think they feel sort of vindicated. I think they have a little bit of a swagger to them. And I think they're sort of relishing this role of being able to sort of, you know, spoil other teams that have designs on making the playoffs. And I think they're a better football team than Dallas, quite frankly. I think they have too many weapons for Dallas to deal with. I think they come away with a road win.
I'm going to go with the Saints as well, which makes it a clean sweep for the second straight game. I just think, similar to Andy, there's a point where Dallas is going to shoot themselves in the foot. They've won 3 in a row. Romo hasn't been turning it over. It feels like it's going to be this game, so give me the Saints as well. What's next, Kev?
Game 3, Washington at Philadelphia. Washington by 5.5.
I'm going to stay with the road teams here. I think Washington has got something going. I think Philadelphia has played better with Foles at quarterback. I think they've been a little bit more competitive, but they still turn the ball over too much. Pac-Man's boy, Bryce Brown.
Oh, that's my guy, yeah.
Yeah, fumble. And talk about Ridley. Woo! He's fumbling the ball an awful lot, and the turnovers is still hurting the Eagles. This is more an anti-Eagles pick than a pro-Redskins, but I'll take Washington on the road.
I agree. Anti-Eagles pick, I'll take the Redskins. I'll take RG3. I think he will run all over the place and prove him. I think he's one of those, like, freakish athletes who, ooh, you doubt me, you think I'm hurt, watch this.
When you say run, you think they're going to run him?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't think they have to run him for him to run. Like, I think he runs, and I think he's one of those athletes that when he decides he's doubted, he just has, like, a little chip on his shoulder, a little swagger, and he's going to embarrass them.
So I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to take the points at home, and I just think I can see Griffin being maybe a little tentative early, or maybe the Redskins trying to reel him in a bit. So give me the Eagles at home in this one. What's next?
I'd be happy to.
So the Giants at Baltimore. Giants, as Paul said, they are favored by 1.5.
And I'll take them. I think the Giants, this is another playoff game for them. And generally, when the Giants' back's against the wall, they find a way. And I think this will be no different. I think they will keep pace in the NFC East with Washington.
Quick side note, love this time of year when the NFL cheerleaders put on their Santa Claus, Mrs. Claus, whatever you want them, the red.
Yeah, the Celtics dancers had something on the other night at the game that was horrible.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Absolutely horrible.
Some of the NFL Network going around the league
outfits?
With some.
What was it?
No, they were like Santa. They were like these white Santa outfits, but they weren't sexy at all. I mean, that's what they're there for. Mm-hmm. Like Andy just said, it's a great time of year. It was awful.
I'd say like that.
Trying
to take your kids out, get a little TNA.
Exactly.
You know what?
You get
stuck with some covered up cheerleaders. Who are you taking in this one, Andy?
Which game?
It is Giants. Favorite by 1.5
Baltimore over the sinking ship. Lord only knows what's, you know, we know what's going on outside of closed doors with the Ravens. Lord only knows what's going on behind closed doors. They're a debacle. So I will take the other team, the Giants.
I'm going to go with the Giants as well, though I'm stunned that they're a point and a half favorite on the road. But I will take the Giants. Two games left, guys. Let's get to them quickly before we head up to the press box. What's next?
Game five, Minnesota at Houston. Houston by 7.
I'll take the Texans in this one. I think that they shut down Adrian Peterson, and unlike some of the other teams that the Texans have struggled with, I don't think Minnesota has the passing game to exploit what Houston doesn't do well defensively.
What he said.
Yeah, I'm with Houston as well. So outside of the Washington-Philly game.
Don't worry, I only need one.
You guys are mirror images of each other, by the way, with one game to go.
That
it's
is
a
not
Sunday
right.
nighter. What
I've
we got there,
Kev? The
Sunday night, San Francisco at Seattle, the game
I'm
of the
a
week.
Good-looking guy.
Seattle getting 2 points here.
This is the game of the week. This
up
is
two
an
points,
epic yeah. bloodbath, physical, I hate you war. Everything you want in a good night football game. Playoffs, division, all of it. A couple young quarterbacks who can run. This is a good football game. I wish we didn't have to work because... unlike the Sun Life post-game show, I'm regretting having to miss this. But I am going to take the San Francisco 49ers on the road. I think it's personal for Jim Harbaugh against Pete Carroll. He doesn't ever want to let Pete Carroll beat him. I don't care where the game is or what's on the line. So I'm going to take the Niners. I was impressed. They passed the eyeball test here.
Yeah, that's the only – I'm going to take Seattle. But the only thing that worries me is what Andy said. That whole Carroll-Harbaugh rivalry is legit. They don't like each other, and Harbaugh owns them. And that's one concern for me, but I don't like the spot. I don't like the back-to-back road games at night. I also think that San Francisco is going to have traveled back across the country, feeling pretty good about itself after their win last week. And I think Seattle gets it done here at home.
There's a temptation for me to take Seattle. I'm going to go with the Niners as well. And I don't want to overreact to what we saw last week from the Niners, but I do think that Harbaugh thing, he could stick it to Pete Carroll and the Seahawks a little bit today. The division is up for grabs. I think they're the better team. I think they take the division.
I agree. I think San Francisco's the better team.
So there we go. There's our Sunday six-pack here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, taking you up to Patriots and Jaguars, 1 o'clock Eastern kick. And let's head down to Jacksonville and go up to the press box.
We're stuck down here in the studio.
Boring.
For the latest from the field, let's go to the press box.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
Here's Eric Scalavino.
Eric joining us from Jacksonville leading up to Pats and Jaguars. And Eric, there was some speculation about Aqib Talib, how much he'd be able to go. He is active for the Patriots today. What have you seen from him thus far leading up to this game?
What I've seen, I haven't really liked Adam. He did work out with the team in warm-ups just a few minutes ago, taking first reps at left corner. But he took one rep and immediately jogged over to the side in the end zone there, took a knee, and then cornerbacks coach Josh Boyer ran over to him, took a knee beside him, and they had a little bit of a discussion. The next few reps he sat out and then took one more rep, like the last rep with the first team before they broke up. And it didn't look to me like he was going to be all that active today. I'd be really surprised if he lasts the entire game.
How do you see this game unfolding with all those reps in the secondary? It seems right now that the safety position is much deeper than the cornerback position.
Mm-hmm. Well, in terms of numbers, yeah, that would certainly be the case. And my guess also is that Devin McCourty is going to play more corner than safety today. And I say that, you know, obviously because Talib isn't 100%. Alphonso Dennard, the other starting corner, is inactive. And in pregame warmups, McCourty typically does, you know, the special teams work, you know, kickoff returns and then that kind of thing before he goes off with the DBs. But this time he came out and immediately went over with Josh Boyer and was having a little bit of a catch back and forth to warm up and then was sort of working on, you know, high pointing the ball as if it were, you know, like along the sideline, as if you were covering along the sideline. So to me, that kind of, gave me the impression that he's going to be seeing more action at corner today than we've seen in the latter half of the season. So, and then if that happens, then obviously you have some movement back at safety. But with the first team reps, we did see McCourty and Gregory as they have been lining up next to each other with Kyle Arrington playing the right corner spot in place of Dennard.
Tell me what you've seen up front. I've seen some tweets from Jeff Howe. About, you know, Trevor Scott and his role, maybe what Ninkovich mm-hmm. will be doing. Give us an update on that,
yep.
what you saw.
Right, because, you know, Brandon Spikes didn't make the trip, so he's not going to be available today. What it looks like they were doing was playing around a little bit with that front seven where Trevor Scott was taking the left-hand spot that Ninkovich usually occupies. Ninkovich was dropping back and playing one of the outside linebacker spots. Gerard Mayo moved to the inside, and Dante Hightower staying at his spot on the other outside linebacker position. So looks like that's probably what they're going to go with, although we always have to qualify this with what we see in pregame warm-ups doesn't always translate into what we actually see on the field. But it's sort of an indication, given what their personnel status is, that there's going to be a little bit of movement both in the secondary and in the front seven. So the entire defense is going to be a little bit of a moving part for most of the afternoon, I would think.
One of the things you generally see in pregame is the returners, the kick returns, punt returns, and we have a new receiver on the roster who's aching to make a contribution for this team. Have you seen him do anything in pregame warmups that might lend you to guess what he could do on special teams?
Not really on special teams. I was more watching him going through his receiving activities just to see what, because we don't really get to see practice during the week, and since he's a practice squad guy, we didn't really get to see much of him at all in the last couple of weeks that he's been on the team. So I was trying to just get a feel for what he's like as a receiver. He's the biggest one that they have out there, and that's what stands out about him right now. He didn't really do a heck of a lot in terms of working with the offense as you might expect, but and didn't really see too much of him on special teams either. But he does stand out just purely for his size.
Okay, now we've gotten past football, we can take over a couple things that are far more important. First, do the Jaguars have cheerleaders, and are they dressed up like Santa outfits today?
Yes, you are correct. They are in Santa outfits, but in Jaguar colors.
Oh.
So a little bit of a twist there, yeah.
Do you like it?
I do, actually, yeah. What's not to like?
And secondly, have you run into your doppelganger, Vito Stellino, and how did his interview go with PFW?
First of all, he has far more hair than I do, so I don't know if I don't really see the connection there whatsoever. He's also a lot taller than I am, wears glasses. There's no connection at all. You're completely mischaracterizing this whole situation. Yes, I have seen him.
Did you happen to, was he around?
Did you hear him?
Did you hear him when he was ripping Bill Belichick?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it was another classic veto.
Oh my God.
He actually doesn't think there's much of a difference in terms of talent between these two teams today, just Tom Brady.
It's all Tom Brady.
Okay. Wow. That's a tough sell.
And he admits he is.
Even with all the injuries, that's a tough sell.
Yeah, he admits while he thinks Bill Belichick is highly overrated, if he saw him struggling with a flat tire on the side of the highway in the snow, he would pull over to help him change his tire. So he doesn't hate him that much.
Oh, really? Wow, yeah. That's the most surprising development of the day.
And he's going to reluctantly vote for him for
the
Hall of Fame.
He will vote for him for the Hall of Fame because, quote, it's a long day. We don't need to. He won three. He's getting in, so there's no need to prolong it.
Oh, okay. That's big of him.
Right.
Yes. But it was an entertaining interview. I urge you, if you get a chance, go back and listen to the podcast. It was classic Vito Stellino.
When Andy and Paul ask Vito Stellino if he really does, in fact, hate the Patriots.
and his answer?
No, he just thinks Bill Belichick's overrated. I mean, anybody else picks a defense like that, the GM would be fired. But he blah, 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 blah.
Oh, Lord.
It was good stuff. But, okay, so finally, the weather. I saw
still
some tweets.
Cold?
It was cold this morning. How much have we warmed up?
Probably to about the high 50s, maybe pushing the low 60s. But certainly for the locals around here, it's frigid. It might as well be snowing the way they're treating it. But, there was actually frost on some of the cars this morning around here. It was sub-freezing temperatures when we woke up. It's warmed up a little bit. So for us, I mean, it's balmy for New England. But for the Jaguars, they look like they're completely bundled up for now.
Well, let's be honest. They have no reason to play, and the cold is just an added factor in that.
Sure. Yeah, they just want to get this over with. It's a formality. The big talk down here is about Tebow.
I know. They need to get a quarterback who can't play quarterback, as Vito Stellino said. He basically said he needs to go into his next lot in life and playing quarterback in the NFL, not his lot in life.
Wow.
He's negative against anybody. He's going to actually have to cover the guy next year, and he's going to be super negative about him. Everybody else is going to be buying jerseys, and Vito's going to be, like, pushing him into the ministry or something.
That's kind of par for the course, though, given him, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, he's like you. He hates everything.
Yeah. All right.
All right, Eric, enjoy the game. We'll see you tonight.
Sounds good.
Hit that accelerator on the plane a little bit. Try to get back early.
Oh, Well, let's hope so.
All right, Eric Scalavino joining us from Jacksonville, leading
AKA
up to
Vito
Patriots
Jr.
and Jags. 1 o'clock Eastern time kick, so a little under 20 minutes away from those two sides.
Oh, shoot, we're going to make our picks.
It's Patriots Pro Shop, by the way. Has everything you need for the Patriots fan on your list. Choose from the widest selection of authentic jerseys, hats, and tees, including AFC East Championship gear. The Patriots Pro Shop is located next to Patriot Place in Foxborough and is open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. We also have our winner. Eric from Sandwich, Massachusetts, is our Bose headphone giveaway
winner.
Yeah, Bose! Just one more of those left in the season. That's all of the housekeeping issues here, guys. As the Patriots get set to kick off against the Jacksonville Jaguars, final thoughts on this matchup?
I think the Patriots are going to come out, score early, score often, build a lead, run Ridley, and have a fun football game today. I think they cruise to the 38-8 victory.
I look at it very much the same way. Like I said, I think this game is going to be over by halftime. I think the Patriots are going to be in the 30s by halftime. The only question is, how much do they keep it going? I don't know. I'll say 38-13.
I was going to go a little higher.
Patriots.
I'm going to go 45-7. That's sort of what I was thinking.
Yeah, I could see that.
I like the 8 number, by the way. But,
you know, if you want to get back in a game, you got to go.
You want to make it an 11-score game. It's important.
So we all have the Patriots winning easily.
Because they have a good coach,
covering
too, Malarkey,
easily, I mean, in this game.
It's not like the Patriots who are playing this game without a good
head
coach.
The defenses are basically the same
right,
in this matchup. So, I mean, you're pretty much looking
quarterback away from being a five-time Super Bowl representative.
Yeah, I like the Patriots given the points. The over-under is a little bit more iffy because I just don't know when the Patriots are going to sort of throttle it back.
Well, and how much, if at all? I mean, you have 13 points for the Jaguars. I mean, I would contend that that's high. So I don't even know how much they're going to be able to hold up their end of the bargain.
You haven't watched a lot of the games the Patriots have played this year, have you?
What?
How many times they allow less than 13 points? Once?
Did they do it against the Rams?
Against
no?
the
Because I sort of feel like this
best
is the Rams
big
game.
Play receiver in the NFL.
Yeah.
The Rams, I think, is the only
and
time
by the
they
way, they don't have any corners.
Points.
I sort of feel good about this being Rams 2.0, but we'll see. And we will see how much Aqib Talib plays. It didn't sound like Eric Scalavino was too sold on him playing an extended period of time. This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. That'll
check out those cheerleaders, too, on the sidelines.
Here on Patriots.com. Our thanks to Andy Hart and Paul Perillo. I'm Adam Jones. I'll talk to you after this one on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show right here on Patriots.com.
Happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird. Here to stay is a new bird. He sings a love song as we go along, walking in a winter wonderland.
This has been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now it's game time as the Patriots square off with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Over the middle it goes. It is intercepted by Brandon Spikes at the 35, 40, 45 at the 50 of Baltimore and out of bounds on the far side of the field.
Be sure to tune into Patriots.com for the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones immediately following tonight's game.
Patriots come hard. He looks, he fires to the right, and it is picked off at the 40. Vincent Wilbrook at the 50, at the 45, at the 40.
Stay up.
Speed all the way down to the 30-yard line. Vincent Wilfork.
Log on to Patriots.com all week long for the latest news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you next week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.